to What the Hex, your source for Warhammer Underworlds and under 30 things that are strange in your neighborhood. I'm co-host Davey, and with me I have my co-host who is still tortured by the crimes he committed in his first life, Skylar. How are you, Skylar?
Totally corporeal.
That's exactly what a ghost would say. We are coming to you for context. We are actually recording on March the 8th. So this is a little more than a week than you should be hearing this. And you are listening to this, hopefully, in the middle of our celebration of Week of Warhammer Underworlds, where we are reveling in the literal avalanche of releases that has crashed down upon us. It's a good thing. It's a lot of work for us, which you've probably heard us say multiple times by the time you're listening to this. But today we are coming at you with the newly revamped Thorns of the Briar Queen. And we are going to skip, as we've been doing, we're skipping our usual segments. Know what the hex is going on. You know, community shout outs. We will return to those. The only thing I did want to say since I got you on here, Skylar, at the time of recording, you are two episodes into your What the Decks.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a weekly undertaking, and I don't think I'm going to regret that choice. So far, I'm enjoying it because it slots right into lunch for me on a Tuesday. So it kind of actually forces me to unplug and take a break. And the goal of the project is to help break down deck building for those out there, like break down any walls or uncomfortability, any barriers that, you know, that people feel with the deck building process, however big or small those might be to them, and show them what that process can look like, how easy it can be. And so not only give them a workflow, but also every week a new deck's coming out, and those are landing on the Battle Mallet's Nemesis library as well.
Yeah. Bunch of champions over there. It's a cool combination. I've enjoyed listening. It's kind of a nice, it's a nice thing that I don't have to be looking at the whole time. I'm not, as someone who's made many, many decks, over my Underworlds, time, I still really enjoy hearing somebody build one and hearing the thought process that goes into it. And, you know, some people are more seat of the pants, some people more analytical, and just kind of cool to see that process laid out. So just sitting here listening to it, it occurs to me that I should have Emmett give it a watch, see what he gets at it, because he's just really starting to do some deck building himself.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. But let's get into this. What we like to do when we're doing these, so as a reminder, if you happen to just look at the big set of releases that dropped this week and said, I am most excited about Thorns, tell me about Thorns of the Briar Queen. So if this is the first episode you're hearing, the four warbands that dropped all together that are the Mirrored City box, these are all revamped warbands. They are, for the first time, coming with a faction deck of 32 cards. And for these episodes, we are giving you our hottest of hot takes, in that we are talking to you as we look at the cards for the first time. Technically, I've put eyes on them to photograph them so we can have them in a shared library. But I did my best to kind of cross my eyes, glaze over.
Avert your eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So that we could get the fresh take. What that means is that we are, as we review these, it will be inevitable. We will make some mistakes, or we'll overlook some things, or we'll just we'll find that we are wrong about some of our opinions on some things, and that's okay. That's some of the fun. I mean, that happens to us when we have the more detailed review too. But if you want a slightly more measured review, then you can go to our blog, where we had a little more time to kind of work through that. But as we said, this is a revamp. So, Skylar, what do you know about the Thorns going into this, Thorns of the Briar Queen? If you had to describe them, and what experience do you have with them?
Okay, so delightfully, I have very little experience mm-hmm. with them. So it's almost going to be reverse for me. Like, I'll be mostly discovering them through the re-release, and then I know I'm going to end up being curious and going back and looking at, mm-hmm. What's changed, what's different. So I haven't like recently studied up. I kind of decided that that was a fun like angle to experience it for me is to see like the fresh coat first and then go back and look at what they used to have going for them. And that's because when I joined in Beastgrave, and there just happened to not really be anybody playing Thorns when I got on board, you know, locally. And that's resulted in I've played against them once, twice, maybe. What I know about them is that they're a good old hold swarm warband with a lot of like free push available to them. I know some of that's housed through an individual named Varklov, and who's been eroded like three times. That might be an exaggeration,
but it's at least twice. It's plenty.
But I love the hold swarm archetype. Mm-hmm. So I'm really enthusiastic to see it realized or refreshed here.
Yeah, for me, it's the first warband that I scooped to transition. So I'd played plenty of control stuff. I was following Michael from Steel City's example and trying his Tomes Molag and his control Steel Hearts and all these sort of things. And then I had done some aggro stuff like Reavers, and I hadn't ever really done a you know, 7+ fighter warband that was really just going to try to hold. And so I got them painted up, and I took them down to Rockford for a couple turns. I cannot for the life of me remember if I actually won any glass with these. Not that that's super important, but I definitely made it to made it competitive in a number of local or semi-local events with these folks. So I'll try and give a little bit of historical perspective, but because we are recording this for both the audience of people who've never seen them before, because this is before their time, and for the long timers, we're going to do a little bit of a mix, but we're really just going to focus on what we're seeing. But
the only thing I remember is that the Queen has some pretty nasty spells originally. If I recall correctly, one that pushes the entire enemy warband.
Yeah. Howling Vortex. So this is a characteristic of these older warbands, is that for one, they didn't have 32 card faction decks. For two, there was usually maybe somewhere between 1 to 5 like crazy good cards, and then a whole lot of junk. And that was true for these guys. They had Sudden Appearance, which is a teleport, just pick somebody up and put them on a starting hex somewhere else. That was amazing. Howling Vortex is the one you're referring to. That would go off on a focus, and it would allow you to push every fighter in the enemy warband, which was
Wowza.
Crazy. There's no better way to guarantee that your Briar Queen would be dead or roll double channel than to get that spell in your hand. But that was it. The Briar Queen was often a brawler that was almost a distraction piece, while Varklav did a lot of the pushing. And that push was so powerful that that's led to him being errated a number of times. And the Adepticon Grand Clash is one with this warband. The first one, 2018, I want to say. Specifically, I remember, I think we interviewed Dean Bills on our cast, and he specifically was talking about leveraging that incredible action efficiency with that, because it could push them all. But I think that's enough preamble. You ready to jump in?
You know it.
Okay. First up, we have the Briar Queen herself. Skyle, you want to run down this profile for us?
Yeah, so we have a 3-move fighter on 2 dodge with 4 health. We have the leader and wizard level 2 and flying traits all present here. And then our attack profile is Briar Whip with 2 range, 3 fury, and 2 damage. We have an Inspire of, in the first Inspire step in your turn, this fighter is adjacent to one or more enemy fighters. Oh, fascinating. Yeah. And Wave of Terror. When this fighter supports a friendly fighter, If this fighter has one or more charge tokens, this fighter is considered to be two supporting fighters.
Interesting. So the Briar Queen usually, you know, that range two usually means that you're not getting in adjacent. I guess it could punish you if you're counter charging her or something like that, if you get the miss. This stat line is pretty representative of where she was before. And that Inspire, they had when they revamped the Inspire steps, their Inspire became kind of wonky. So this is really basically how it functioned pre changes in the official Inspire step era. So that's kind of cool to see come back. That was a neat dynamic of kind of flooding forward with the ghosts. I guess I should say, like, that their faction deck really didn't include, we talk about them being a hold swarm, their faction deck include very minimal stuff for holding objectives. There's a lot of swarming around people, moving through people, that sort of thing. And it was just because of their innate action and numbers that they end up often being used at a hold warband. But that Wave of Terror, that's interesting. It seems kind of corner case for her, but not terrible. I like seeing the fly as just a rule is you're always just disentangling. Like they had originally had like, hey, they can pass through like the sort of quote unquote ethereal rule. And they've just kind of cleaned that up here.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So the in the first Inspire step in your turn, this fighter is adjacent to one or more enemy fighters. So it's not even a turn where you're necessarily activating this fighter. It's just if that ever lines up. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at like the reaction Inspire surge sequence that happens going into your activation.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So I got to assume there's going to be push tech in here, and that's going to be something that you're going to be able to set up in the power and then flip over to Inspire.
Let's take a look at what that Inspire does.
Let's see. All right. So first off, love that they're doing the inspired art. I can get the word out. That's just really cool. She looks menacing. From a boon standpoint, we have an extra movement here. Mm-hmm. So we're on a stat line of 4-2-4. And then Briar Whip. What has Briar Whip gained here? Is it just Grievous?
Just Grievous 1, yeah.
Just Grievous 1. And then we continue on with the Wave of Terror.
Okay.
Yeah.
She used to go up to 3 damage. This is fairly reasonable. She was kind of insane when she could do that. So we'll see what else damage output gets. But solid. I think I would always forget that she only started at 3 move. You were expecting your ghosts to be faster, but they just kind of float along.
I think 3 Fury is such a respectable profile to tech Grievous on too for like that damage variance there.
Yeah, a lot of times it's the threat of the damage that you can bring as much as the actual damage you can bring. So the other player is looking at it as if like that fighter, I have to consider that fighter is going to do 3 damage.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'm guessing we got Varklav next, and we do. Varklav here. Ooh, so he, I think, gets a downgrade. He's a 1 dodge, 3 move. He's still up at 4 wounds. His Chill Blade is range 1, 2 smash, 2 damage. He's the same Inspire. He is a level 1 wizard. That's awesome. Flying Solemn March. Okay, so here's the push, which is now choose up to 2 friendly chain rasps, so not all anymore. Push each chosen fighter up to 2 hexes. You can give each chosen fighter 1 charge token. And he also has Wave of Terror. Oh, I wonder. I'm going to cheat. It looks like Wave of Terror is on all these fighters. Okay, that's it. Really cool. All right.
Oh, snap.
Okay, so
they're coming in with some Decunning Crew tech.
Yeah, so you can push people forward, give them a charge token so they've got extra support. Often what we'd see is, you know, this kind of, we'll push 2 in. You can either stay there and try and punch 1 and kill one of the ghosts and then let the other one Inspire, or you can try to run away or something like that. So it was often this sort of flood to get people Inspired up to presumably 2 dodge. We'll see if everybody still does that. When he Inspires, he just gets 1 extra move and 1 extra defense. The defense is a big deal. He no longer goes up to 3 damage, and it looks like his Solemn March remains the same. So he remains more of a utility piece. I wonder how much that wizard thing is going to be leveraged level 1, but It's cool. This push is flexible because it looks like it's any direction. It had become this thing where it had to be towards the closest fighter and you could only use it once per round. This looks like it's repeatable and use however you so desire.
I like that a lot. You know, with the wizard thing, mm-hmm. it could end up serving as a bit of a negative or like balancing towards. So if I bring a lot of spells, right, and the Briar Queen goes down, I'm not going to be able to salvage them unless I also let this key push piece fall.
Okay, so, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about it that way. Cool. I love this flexibility of the charge tokens. I'm not certain what order people hear this in, but we mentioned in Spike Claws, this is the first release that we've really seen, I think, like a Horde style warband, be it Spike Claw or Gits or Thorns, that were designed for this era of the charged out rule. And so these optional charge tokens are a really cool touch.
Yeah, I really dig that. And the fact that Wave of Terror gives you additional incentive mm-hmm. to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But if you want to just be setting up a longer range charge, that's still available to you. You know, push this turn to charge later.
Yeah.
Next up, what do we got?
We have the Everhanged. So our first Chain Rasp here. Flying trait, I'm sure that'll be unanimous across the board, always is for ghosts. And mm-hmm. we have 3 move, 1 dodge, 3 health. Malignant Blade, range 1, 2 fury, 2 damage attack. And then we have the same Inspire, Wave of Terror, and a ability called Throttle. So looks like this is a reaction. Use this after your activation step. Roll 1 magic dice for each enemy fighter adjacent to this fighter on a roll of channel or crit. Stagger that fighter.
Mm. Oh, okay. That's cool. Emmett would love this. He loves the he loves Padpaw. He'll just bomb that dude in and stagger as many people as he can. So I imagine this is a nice setup. You get somebody staggered before your Briar Queen comes in, hopefully with Grievous to finish off.
Yeah, I like it.
What's that Inspire get you?
The Inspire, oh my gosh. It actually does quite a bit for him. We're going up to 4 move, 2 dodge. And the Malignant Blade here switches over to Hammers and gets mm-hmm. Cleave.
That's a big accuracy bump.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
I like that quite a bit. So, So Throttle is after your activation step. So at least you're not able to do that after your move, right? Mm-hmm. Like come in, react, stagger, and then come in with that. Yeah. Already sure. pretty accurate Malignant Blade there. Cool. A good first note for the first Chain Rasp here.
Yeah, this is kind of, he's been the only one that had a name, and then he's the sort of workhorse previously, and it looks like he still kind of is that with a little extra health to keep him alive long enough to do it. We should be on Chain Rasps now.
Yeah, who's up?
Skylar, they have names. The Iron Wretch. These guys used to all just be, it looks like they all have names. These guys used to all just be, like the petitioners were just petitioner and they became like rising and all that. Now each of these guys used to just be called Chain Rasp. Now they have a specific name. That's cool.
Oh, well, Justice, and they have the mini Justice keyword the chain here. Rasp. Oh, and so the Everhanging just had Chain Rasp.
Yeah.
So it looks like the ones that I'm going to imagine all the ones that previously were, hey, unnamed Chain Rasps are now minions.
Yeah. This stat line is, so Wave of Terror is still on here. Move 3, 1 dodge, 2 health, range 1, 2 fury, 1 damage. That is pretty much online. They're all kind of like really kind of garbage level attacks. But this is a thing where like if you can get the supports right, then even one supporting with a charge token actually makes these fairly accurate attacks. Not overwhelmingly so, but if you're coming in with 2 dice on fury with double supports, it's pretty good.
Pretty good. I agree. Yeah, 4 out of 6. For success results there.
Yeah.
Well, what's the Inspire grab us?
Extra move, extra defense, extra damage. Pretty nice bump. I think we're going to see that throughout these Chain Rasps here is move, dodge, and then some bump to the attack. I remember it was all like you could start to figure out like the axe did a little more damage. Somebody with a club had knocked back, that sort of thing. But
got it. Well, we have the Exhumed as our second named chain rasp with a 3-1-2 profile. So same as before. And Malignant Axe. Wait, is that? Oh, yeah, that's the same name.
Yeah.
And same profile as before. 1 range, 2 fury, 1 damage.
Yeah.
So then the
Exhumed. We always used to call this guy the chairman of the board because he had like a board nailed to his hand.
I dig it. And for the Inspired side, I'm actually just cross-referencing with Iron Wrench here. Yeah, same benefits here. So goes up to move 4, 2 dodge, 2 health, and that Malignant Axe gets 1 more damage.
Okay. We got the Silence next. I think people will call this guy Bike Lock because it looked like he got his head stuck in a bike lock, but the Silence is a much cooler name.
Bike Lock is a better name, though.
He's got that. It looks like identical profile for that uninspired side. He goes up to a nice, accurate 3 fury, has stagger and knockback 1. So kind of a utility piece for you.
Yeah, this one's the Malignant Club.
Mm. And then the Uncrowned is the headless one, completely headless Nick. And he, same starting profile, but goes to 2 smash cleave, 1 damage. A little bit of a Everhanged wannabe there. Cool. All right. What do you think? I think like that Wave of Terror feels like potentially a big shift there. It gives him some offensive bump.
Yeah. So did they have any like baked in support before?
No, they had cards that played with it, and they had objectives that would be like, hey, you can surge for 1 if you have 3 people next to somebody or stuff like that. So,
interesting. Okay.
They had stuff that was playing around with the idea of support and such, but I don't think they had specific abilities on card. All right. So we got a good baseline. I think we're ready to jump into objectives. You got any thoughts about the fighters before we do that?
No, I want to jump straight in.
Okay, here we go. Why don't you give us the first objective there?
First one is bypass the guards, which I just enjoy right out of the gates as far as names go. Surge, duel. Score this immediately after a friendly fighter makes a move action, which moves through 1 or more hexes that contain an enemy fighter, and that fighter ended that move action on a feature token.
Mm.
Bypass the guards, right?
Nice. Yeah, I like it.
On my way through you and to the objective. Yeah, I think that's, man, that's pretty reliable.
Yeah, I actually like that a lot. That's a surge that doesn't need you to roll dice. It's got positioning. It's got counterplay. I think at speed 3, it's pretty reasonable. It can be pretty hard to set that up. But if you come in and miss, you're probably getting this scored on you.
Yeah, it's probably going to look a lot of the times like, Varklav, push these 2 up. Okay, 1 of you is about to bypass the guards.
Yeah. Solid. That's cool. I like it. That's thematic with what they had. Deathly Clutches, another surge hybrid. Score this immediately after 2 or more friendly fighters become inspired in the same inspire step or an activation step if 4 or more friendly fighters are in enemy territory. We'll see if there's what the push tech is. This was kind of a signature move for a lot of these things is whenever I was playing against a good Thorns player, especially when I was running aggro stuff, I'd come in and they would set up this situation where like, hey, you might get somebody, but I'm going to inspire a lot of my guys and the rest are going to be much harder to kill. So this is kind of a nice coaching objective, like set up these situations where you can inspire multiple guys. It's a good thing. It's nice that it's got a backup too.
Coaching objective is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Distract the Watch, surge, duel. Score this immediately after an activation step if 1 or more friendly fighters are adjacent to an enemy fighter and 2 or more other friendly fighters are on objectives.
Oh, auto include, I think. If you're doing a hold objective setup, it's other friendly fighters. I think you can still do that 1 or more.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the wording.
Yeah.
Sometimes I struggle with the 1 or mores and, you got to watch out for each, which isn't present here, but
yeah,
it comes up a lot.
So you need 2 on objectives and at least a 3rd that's next to a friend, an enemy fighter. Is that
Yeah, that's what I'm reading too. Yeah, and it doesn't say like who activated, right? Mm, so as long as you can orchestrate, fighters into this position, it doesn't matter if it was your opponent who activated or it's your activation and you choose somebody else who's not part of this. You're getting it if you got these three in those positions. Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, another surge that's scoring for positioning. That's three in a row surges scoring for positioning where dice are not required.
There's no way that trend stays.
End phase, we got a hybrid. Dread reputation. It's funny, every time I see hybrid or dual, I think, is this good for the Great Plan? Like, it's not even the right faction. Like, what am I?
I do the same thing, though.
Let's see. Hybrid, score this in an end phase if each surviving enemy fighter is adjacent to one or more friendly fighters, or each surviving friendly fighter has one or more move and or charge tokens.
So from a balance standpoint, I really like the differentiation here. So, it's got to be all of your surviving enemy fighters are adjacent to the friendlies, or all surviving friendlies have these move and or charge tokens. For a moment, when I was starting that sentence, I was thinking it was each surviving in both cases friendly. But so your enemy fighters play into the first part. I think this is going to be, this would typically be hard with the amount of fighters that we have, seven, right? I know seven is the cap, but I always forget it because gets exist. So I'm like, wait, no, they could be nine. Wait, no, seven is how many starting hexes we have. Anyways, each surviving friendly fighter looking for move and or charge tokens is helped a ton by Varklav's ability to be like, would you like a charge token?
Right. Yeah. I think Varklav needs to score this for you. Let's say there's five chain rasps. He would have to, I'd still be like, if they, it's actually tough to score in the first round unless there's other ways to get him out. Assuming you don't lose somebody before they get, because Varklav could get four moving, get four with move or get four with charge tokens. That's what his thing is. He get four charge tokens out there with the first two activations, but then you still have three fighters that need to get them. So, tough right away. Although you'll almost always lose one of these guys on one dodge. If you're fighting anyone aggro, they can usually smoke somebody. So, this looks a little tough early, not impossible. And we'll see what other tricks there are, but it seems real solid in mid to late game.
I would agree.
Especially for two.
Foreboding inevitability. Hybrid. Score this in an end phase if there are one or fewer surviving enemy fighters from each enemy warband. That's tough. Or one or more enemy leaders are vulnerable. That's also tough.
Yeah.
It is for two glory. I think the reward is reasonable for the ask, but this is going to be pretty hard to orchestrate in majority of games, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to need, I think it'll be one of your candidates for replacement fairly early on. If you're going with an aggro game plan, I don't know how much that can run with these guys, then maybe this works its way in. We've got another duel next, Reclaimed Turf. Score this in an end phase if your warband holds three or more objectives, and your warband holds one or more objectives in no one's and or enemy territory. And this is only for two glorious. This is harder supremacy for only two. I'm guessing it's that much movement efficiency or something makes this doable.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Being able to push up to two fighters up to two is quite a big deal. So you can get two objectives in one activation, and then really kind of only having to secure that third one over the line and not lose the back ones that you've secured. I guess I kind of get why it's two here, except for the fact that you want to be able to offset your glory bleed, which is generally why like swarm hold would have such high payouts.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what else is in here. It feels like it might have been all right at three. Let's see. Scores are settled. We got another surge here. Surge Hybrid, score this immediately after the second or subsequent successful attack action made by friendly minions, in this phase, or an activation step if your warband holds each objective in enemy territory at least one.
That's tough.
Yeah, two glory surge is nice, and it does not have to wait. The second half doesn't have to wait for the opponent to have an activation.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to see this like a two glory surge being getting like, oh wow, that's way too easy, you know, out of us. But those are some hard asks.
Yeah, and it's minions, not chain rasps, so the Everhanged can't help you out with this.
Yeah. Notice that, so, which means your damage output's going to be on the lower end as well. Like you're essentially getting paid out for doing chip damage.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, like I enjoy the incentive for sure. Like it's going to lead, if I run this card, it's going to lead me to be a little happier with making those chip damage attacks.
Yeah. And if you can get some staggers or those Wave of Terror double supports out, then the accuracy actually comes up higher than you think.
Yeah. And we'll see. Maybe they'll have a teleport that will help with the ore here.
Sure.
So Sorceress Syndicate. Surge. Score this immediately after damage dealt by a friendly wizard took an enemy fighter out of action. One glory. Oh, sweet. The fact that A, you have two wizards, and B, this isn't spell dependent. It's just did the Briar Queen or Varklav do this? And you know, there's ways to get wizard now.
Or yeah, anyone carrying around the Everwinter Stave can also score this. So
yeah, cool.
Cool. Fair enough.
All right. I noticed I missed the cadence there of two and gave you two in a row. So I'm gonna take the city here.
All right.
Duel, score this in an end phase. If your warband holds one or more objectives, and your warband holds each objective in one or more territories, one glory. I'm gonna groan and pass on this one.
Yeah, that's a little tough. This existed before it was weirdly written. It was like hold everything on one board. And so you had to include, they ruled that you had to have no man's land as well. So it was really bad then. It's gotten better, but still tough. It feels like they're discounting these. Yeah, so this is hold all. We see these as two glory. This must be because they can get on so easily.
Gotta be. If you're running this card, I'm guessing most of the time you're tackling this with one objective held by yourself safely in your own territory, and then like one in no one's territory. Right? Well, I guess it's interesting when it comes to where you're going to put the tokens, because I think you're always going to want to put more in your territory.
Sure.
Right. But if for some reason you were like, nah, I'll load up across the line and just put one over in my territory, then this just becomes a free one pointer for you.
Yeah. And then there's the reclaimed turf. So if you're trying to do like two in yours and one in no one's, then this is hold two for one. Not terrible. Not crazy great.
All right.
The next one is also an end phase, also one glory, hybrid. Score this in an end phase if your warband holds an objective whose value is odd and an objective whose value is even, or your warband took an enemy fighter on an objective out of action in the preceding action phase. Not lighting my hair on fire, but also stuff that you're going to be trying to do anyway, probably. Getting on the objectives, and if somebody's trying to deny, then you're probably trying to kill them off of there.
So, yeah, so this is one glory, and like it's an extremely easy ask for one glory.
Yeah.
It will probably end up in decks that's looking for that, you know, one extra card, you know, to add in. That's a little more reliable. Okay, so we have Throat Cutters here. Surge, hybrid, score this immediately after an enemy fighter was taken out of action. If that fighter was inspired, or that fighter was on a starting hex in enemy territory. one point. So I actually really enjoy, I can't remember what the card was, but we've talked about it before on cards that we were like either hidden gems or cards we were going to miss. Was like taking a fighter out of action on a starting hex.
I think Hexbane still has that. That's one of their not so great surges.
I like that, but I will say here you're not doing enough like damage inherently to like really be able to tee up on that when fighters are going to be mostly on their starting hexes, you know, towards the beginning of the game. Because otherwise you just got to watch their footing through the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not known for kill surges, right?
I think they had them, but yeah, this be a candidate for replacement. Tide of Death scores an end phase of your warband, holds more objectives than each other warband. There we go. Two glory, dominant position. By another name.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent. This goes in every one of their decks.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Solid.
Happy to see it.
Yep. Love it. All right. Well, let's see how much support they got for these, because we've had some that were like, I don't know, or some of those positioning surges are from good to maybe great, depending on what they've got to help them out. So let's start with the Gambits.
All right. Back Shanker.
Good name to start. Let's get that.
Reaction. Play this during a friendly fighter's attack action. After the declare attack action step, choose a friendly minion. Remove the chosen fighter from the battlefield. Then place that fighter in an empty hex adjacent to the target. Then you can give the chosen fighter a charge token. Oh, hey. There's some help with... getting move and charge tokens right there too, like out of sequence. For that
pick
2-pointer
up a minion. Oof, yeah, you can. It's a huge boost for accuracy. If like say you're going in with the Briar Queen, you can be like, hey, I'm going to be 3 Fury double supported all of a sudden.
Yeah, because wave of terror. So the fact that this will let you give them a charge token immediately cranks this up to support too. Mm-hmm. Wow. Like they could have printed this card, you know, with they come in with a move token or no token. They come in staggered, but they give it a charge. That's so cool. Yeah.
You can give, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
Option. I like this a lot. And so this is a teleport for one of your minions. So you can, I think this is going in automatically. There's a lot of cool stuff. If somebody's standing next to an objective you want, like, I'm going to attack you. I don't actually care about killing you. I really just want to teleport my minion on there. very cool.
I like that. All right.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That's a hot fire start.
Yep. Castigating Scream. So we got a Gambit spell, and this is on focus, so look out, Varklav. If cast, plus one dice to the first range, one or two attack action made by a friendly fighter in the next activation. If that attack action is supported, minus one defense to the target's defense rolls for that attack action to a minimum of one. That is... so it's only going if the Briar Queen's trying to cast it, 75% to go off.
So then
if you set up the support...
Hit is to any friendly fighter in the next activation. That's going to be making the attack.
That's not bad. I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. Actually, it took me a second to, like, there's just a lot going on there, right?
Yeah. Especially with how many, like, 2-block upgrade defense cards there are now. It's nice to kind of cut that down.
Agree. Yeah, I like it.
Cool.
So, Endless Malice. Reaction. Play this during a friendly fighter's attack action after the defense roll. If the attack action would fail, the combat sequence ends and the attacker makes an attack action that must target the same enemy fighter.
Beauty.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
This is not restricted to minions. Anyone can take it. That's cool.
And until you see it come out, one card in hand will feel like it could always be this.
Absolutely. Let's see. Grasping Chains is the first attack action in the next act, or in the first attack action in the next activation. Each friendly chain rasp that supports the attacker is considered to be one additional supporting fighter. This is kind of like a way to get a wave of terror without the charge token, I guess.
So there wasn't an objective. For like an amount of supports, was there?
I don't think so.
Okay, like because to be one additional supporting fighter, like you could theoretically be three support, supporting fighters. Not that that's going to give you any benefit, but I was like, if anything's tracking that, no. Okay.
If there wasn't Wave of Terror in here, that'd be a little hotter on it, but
yeah, I feel like I'm going to rely on Wave of Terror and keep this slot open most of the time.
Yep, I'd agree.
All right, Spectral Parry. Choose a friendly fighter that does not have one or more guard tokens. Give the chosen fighter one guard token. I love guard in double dodge warbands. So although, you know, sometimes it can feel like my 11th card, you have some hold incentives here. And guard can really help you out with that beyond just the defensive bonus. So I feel this is great. I'm glad it's here.
Yeah, great defensive boost, and then great for making sure you stay where you want to be. Pretty solid. I like it. Spectral Touch, another Spectral card here. Spectral Touch, the first attack action made by a friendly fighter in the next activation has cleave and stagger. Fine. I guess if you're trying to do this thing where a lot of minions have to hit, this will help set that up a little bit. I think you'll probably find something else that you're excited about if you're making a nemesis deck. But
yeah, I think so too. Yeah. In Rivals, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sudden Mugging, a Gambit spell. I think it's funny that mugging is a spell. So this is looking for one focus. If cast, choose a friendly Chain Rasp. Place the chosen fighter in an empty hex. If the chosen fighter is not adjacent to one or more enemy fighters, give the chosen fighter a charge token.
More teleportation.
Yeah, wild. And the fact that you're... So if you land adjacent, then you're just there now. That's your new position. If you land elsewhere, which could be an objective hex, that's when you are mandatory receiving a charge from this one. Oh, interesting.
And this is Chain Rasp, so it will also work on the Everhanged, not just the little mopes.
Oh, man, you're going to really have to pay attention to Chain Rasp versus minion B-word in this one.
Yep. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, a lot of flexibility with that. Use it for objectives. Use it to set up a charge. Use it to set up a support. Use it to set up a trap. All kinds of things. Solid. Terrifying Advance. Choose two friendly fighters. Stagger each enemy fighter adjacent to the chosen fighters. If there are no enemy fighters adjacent to a chosen fighter, you can push that chosen fighter one hex instead.
What?
Yes, please. What?
No notes. This is awesome.
Yeah. this is the signature Brian. What does he say? Like American Express, never leave home without it. Smashed into my shopping cart or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yep.
Excellent. All right. Torment's Lash, a Gambit spell. Looking for one focus again. Has that been the case for all three?
Yeah, everything's been focused so far. Yeah, single focus.
If cast, choose one other fighter within four hexes of the caster. So that's a really wide margin. If the chosen fighter is an enemy fighter, deal one damage to the chosen fighter. If the chosen fighter is a friendly fighter, push the chosen fighter one hex. If the chosen fighter is a friendly Chain Rasp, push the chosen fighter up to two hexes instead.
Wow.
Sign me up.
Yeah, that's all sides of that are really good. I think that's, I mean, it looks great. It's like that, it's like Sudden Mugging and our other Cascading Scream is maybe the least exciting of these spells so far. They all seem fairly reasonable for a 75% chance to go off with your caster.
Question for you. When they were played, or like when you'd seen Thorns before, played Thorns before, was kind of a theme a common play to create trapped scenarios? Because the more we see of these pushes and teleports, the more I'm imagining like trying to like position trapped fighter advantages.
Yeah, there was some of that. There was even a build. I think John Wynn Reese went to an event in Scotland and had a, I think he might have called it the hug build. And there was some universals in the pool that were just score for standing near people. With their in faction stuff, he was scoring a lot of Surge Glory for just setting up crowds and then murdering whoever was in the middle of those crowds. But yeah, I definitely had some of those situations because you'd also be doing these extreme offsets, so edge hexes would be pretty involved. So yeah, that's a good call. Cool. But yeah, these seem reasonable with the probabilities that they like. That's if that was automatic, that'd be like a insanely good card.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like knowing that if Briar Queen goes down, like mm-hmm. this is like so the chances like of score of triggering this off of one dice, like with Varklav, the fact that you're now given a position where you can still cast it is cool, but you know, it's just going to get cast so less frequently that sometimes I think you're going to be like, man, I wish Varklav wasn't even here right now and I could have just salvaged this.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that at all. I'm still kind of locked in the previous mindset of forgetting that salvage even exists. Gambit spells were like, they had to be white hot in the original Thorns because you were always going with them from the Briar Queen and she needed to do a lot of offensive work for you. So she was often in a dangerous spot. So some people still wouldn't even take that Howling Vortex just because it was so likely that she would be dead by the time it came around.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's see. We got Unbound Crooks. Choose a friendly fighter with no move or charge tokens. Remove the chosen fighter from the battlefield and place them on an empty hex in no one's territory. Or no one's territory. Interesting. Then give the chosen fighter a charge token or a move token. So another teleport.
Is that three?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Wow.
Ooh. Spicy.
They're going to be really hard to lock down positionally. Yeah.
So it's Backshanker. Sudden Mugging. Yeah. Sudden Mugging and Unbound Crooks. Woo. All right. That's cool. I really like that flavor. That's pretty sweet. All right. That does open up some of those other objectives. It makes me understand a little bit. Still, I don't love it, but it makes me understand a little more why they,
the objective payouts are a little low for holding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they've got so many tools.
Yeah. I wonder if they like Rhyme Locked, which wants you to hold so much in enemy territory. That'd be interesting to look into. All right. Well, that's the Gambits. Big fan of so many positioning, a lot of pushes, a lot of teleports. It's a pretty solid entry there from the Gambit section.
Yeah. I think there were like two to three cards that we were a little colder on where it was like, okay, these are probably things that we'd seek a swap for, but
I'd
like that from a ratio standpoint, because then you kind of have your obvious spots you want to fill, but then you get that pressure of, but I want all 15 of these cards now that I've combined two decks together. Which ones do I trim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Do you want to take the first upgrade?
Yeah, let's do that. Awful Leer, Stare of Death is a reaction on Awful Leer. You can use this reaction once per round after this fighter's activation. Mm. Choose a visible enemy fighter within four hexes of this fighter. That fighter cannot make charge super actions in the next activation.
Wow. Whoa. That's amazing. I think of this almost like a gambit. Like it's an upgrade, so you'll be able to use it each round. But I think I picture holding this until late in the round. Maybe you're in that situation where because you're the larger warband, you had to take first activation and they've been holding somebody back for a charge. You drop this on one of your guys, step them onto the objective you want, and then they just stare at the tooled up fighter that was supposed to come punch them off.
And then all of a sudden they're not charged out for.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Ooh. This is cool. Wow. The entire time I'm reading it too, this stare is intense. Yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. All right. We've got Chill Touch. The fighter's attack actions have Ensnare.
Eh.
Yeah. Never that big a fan of just straight and snare.
You know, in this box set, like if you just buy this box set and fight against each other quite a bit, I know Spyclaw is on Dodge. I'm assuming Gitzwill. I'm going to be on that live react with Brian.
Yeah.
And the most of the mob is as well. So, I mean, within the context of let's fight Mirrored Cities decks against each other, this is good there.
Yeah, sure.
But it's mediocre outside of that.
Early candidate for replacement.
Yeah.
What do we got next?
Driven by Hatred. Plus one dice to this fighter's attack actions while this fighter has one or more charge tokens. Sweet. Yeah. If I'm going to make a charge, I'm going to get plus one dice in on the attack. Yeah. No complaints there. If for some reason you're down to a charged out state too, reactivating the benefit will be there for you then.
Yeah, I can see that most often if somebody's cleaned up a bunch of your chain rasps and then the Briar Queen can get into a spot where she can kind of whip a bunch of different people maybe.
That was me realizing that I didn't hear this Death Warband have a single resurrection card yet.
Holds. Yeah,
that's interesting. So like as far as Death Warbands go, this is one that you actually could see charged out as the game goes on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Next up is Enforcer. You cannot give this to a minion. So as a reminder, that means it can go on Varclav, the Briar Queen, or the Everhanged. Friendly fighters within two hexes of this fighter cannot be driven back.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think that's solid with your game plan. I think you got to go with that. That's pretty good.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That your positioning requirements are interesting, but worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that you can hit multiple fighters with this bubble is so cool.
Yeah.
All right. Grasping Thorns. So this is restricted to Briar Queen, and it has a reaction. After this fighter's successful attack action, you can push the target up to two hexes. They must end this push adjacent to this fighter.
Hmm.
Okay. So made a successful attack as the Briar Queen. And then I can push the target up to two hexes. They have to come. So I'm bringing somebody into me.
I mean, I can think of situations where it'd be nice. Like maybe they extended one fighter who's already charged. You pull that into a safer spot to counterattack, but this is a lot of set. I'm not crazy about this one.
Yeah. Especially since we don't see lethal so much these days. So you don't have the ability to just drag them over the coals on their way in. Okay.
Horrifying Malice. While this fighter has one or more charge tokens, minus one dice from enemy fighters' attack actions to a minimum of one. If the attacker is adjacent to this fighter, that is cool. Ooh. So you get a Varclav push, throw some charge tokens out, and then drop this on somebody. And now if they can sit there and attack with less accuracy, and if they miss, you're inspiring. That's cool. That's solid. And there's a lot of ways to hand out charge too.
Yeah, I think this is going to benefit most when this is the fighter being attacked, though, right? Like, so I think you'll get a charge token on somebody, and you're going to want to keep them alive. So you're just going to toss this down on them.
Sure.
I think it has the capacity to help other fighters, but positioning wise, most of the time it's just going to benefit the fighter wearing this.
I agree, but I think there's going to be some mid game scenarios where, especially with these elites I guess with the charged out thing, a lot of times people can charge away and then keep attacking from somewhere else. But yeah, you can set up some tough decisions with it. I like it. I think it's solid.
Yeah. No complaints. Like even if it was just the minus one dice effect for the single fighter, I'd like it. I was just trying to wrap my head around how often the other part is going to come into play.
Yeah.
All right. So we have Merciless Superior. Next, you cannot give this to a minion. So again, Varclav, Briar Queen, and Everhanged are all game for this. While this fighter is within three hexes of one or more friendly chain rasps, you can reroll one defense dice in that chain rasp's defense roll.
Hot, hot, hot. Very nice. Wow.
If you give this to Everhanged, that's himself.
He can be mercilessly superior to himself. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not other friendly chain rests.
That's great. Especially once you start inspiring two dodge with a reroll. It's a lot.
That's fantastic. I like it. Like it a lot. Yeah.
Shacklegeist Chains. This is a throwback. Each time this fighter's range one or two attack action takes a target out of action, gain one additional glory point, and it is restricted to Varclav. That was occasionally taken, and that was even pre-salvage days. But also Varclav used to be able to get up to three damage. I think you're probably going to find other stuff that works with your game plan more, but it's not terrible if he inspires and is playing cleanup. It only needs to process once to really kind of benefit. So,
yeah, I'm for it. And it being restricted, mm-hmm. you have the salvage fuel there.
Yeah.
I also just enjoy the pressure this puts on, like, hanging back with Varclav, right? And keeping him safe to, like, keep that push live. Mm. You know, as soon as you commit to this, you're kind of, like, potentially removing that ability for yourself if they're able to capitalize on Varclav and take him down.
Sure.
But at the payout of an additional glory point, that's a fun push pull.
Yeah. It feels maybe 11th cardy. I think if you find a deck that's got some weapons for you or some boosts, then it gets more interesting.
Agree. All right. Spectral Coils, attack action, range 2, 3 fury, 1 damage with Grievous 1 attack profile here. And it has a special ability, Reform, which is a reaction. After this fighter is taken out of action, give this upgrade to another friendly chain rasp. You can use this reaction even if this fighter is out of action. Oh, cool.
I love that. Yeah. What a cool idea.
So, a range 2 attack that you can pass around the room and a respectable one at that. This is pretty cool.
Yeah. Can threaten 2 damage, is more accurate than most of their attacks. That's great.
Yeah. Like that a lot.
Yeah. Cool. What a cool idea for one.
I didn't mention this is restricted to chain rasps, but almost implied with give this upgrade to another friendly chain rasp.
For sure.
Yep.
And then we're on our final card in the deck. Unliving Overseer. You cannot give this to a minion. How many of those are there now? There's like three
is what I'm tracking.
Okay. Three. So this gives you a reaction. I'm already interested. Drive minion reaction. After this fighter's activation, choose one friendly chain rasp within 2 hexes of this fighter. Pick one, push the chosen chain rasp 1 hex, or that chain rasp makes an attack action, then break this card. Very cool. That's really cool.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh man, like if somebody's sitting on the objective that you want to, you know, score some of your hold an enemy, you have this on like the queen or something, teleport that minion next to the target, kill or drive away the target, and then react to push the chain rasp onto it to steal that objective.
This is really cool.
Yeah. This is super cool positioning tech. I like this a lot.
Nice. Really intriguing card to round out the 32 there.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I love how many positioning tricks they have here. That feels awesome.
That feels like their identity here, yeah. Right? Like I can't think of any other warband with this much positional like trick tech.
In faction. That's pretty sweet. Very cool. All right. Do you have, I mean, we kind of talked about it on the fly after having seen that, if we're going to summarize this, what would we summarize this as? I think it's all movement tricks, right? Like, you know, they're all flying. They got a lot of teleports and pushes. And they've got modest offensive output.
With a wave of terror, like constantly offering accuracy from supported position. That's really, really cool. Like I'm never going to think of this warband again without thinking of what Wave of Terror brings to them.
Sure.
I think their identity is like their previous identity isn't compromised.
Right. I'd agree. What do you like for pairings just off the top of your head? I won't hold you to this, but.
Well, you know, I am a sucker for Fearsome Fortress. Paths of Prophecy could be a ton of fun to explore. Actually, that's the number one that's coming to my mind just because of how quickly you can change who is on and off an objective.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You can really manipulate those numbers.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
Yeah, with three pure positional surges in faction plus the great surges that Paths of Prophecy brings, you get a pretty white hot surge pack.
Oh, can you imagine all of the benefits for having three fighters holding as well? In that deck.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. And being able to and then if you're brawling with the queen, being able to get that big heal on her, that's cool. I'd be interested to see if they've got something available for them in Rhymelocked, which has a lot of stuff that says hold in enemy or hold in more than one. Masks too, maybe. You can't resurrect, which is a little concerning.
Masks is a great pick. Because they've got the first three surges, we were like, oh wow, these are fantastic. And they didn't require dice rolling. So you've got some really good seed glory opportunity.
Yeah.
And enough fighters to hopefully weather the storm and keep your mask count up.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
And then you would put it on your bucket list with that pairing is to Maskborn, bring Varklav back from the dead just to do a solemn march and then fall over dead again. In this scenario where you grab, all of a sudden you grab your in faction dominant position, what was that, Tide of Death? That'd be kind of amazing. Cool. Skylar, give me your favorite thing. Can be anything. It can be a card, fighter, art, quote, an attack profile. What's your favorite thing about this warband that we've been through it?
That's so hard. I'm so pleased with the refresh here. Nothing felt outside of modern, and yet they feel like really fully realized with this 32 card rivals deck. And the fact that their identity, it feels like it got fleshed out more. It's really good.
Yeah.
Man, favorite one thing. I keep thinking about Backshanker.
that's what I was going to take if you didn't. That's a really cool one.
These flitting killers can change position in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I think I just love so much positioning tech. It feels like they have the in-faction support to do some of the things that they're kind of amazing at before. And I think at first glance, and we're always potentially wrong about some of this, it doesn't look like their offensive output is overtuned. You know what I mean? It looks like for all their shenanigans for movement, they're reasonably in check. They're not going to also blow you out on the other end with their counterpunch.
Agree. The glory that you can get from their objectives versus the glory beat of bleed of having seven fighters. I wonder if it doesn't feel pairing ready, right? Here's going to be your reliable seed glory and middle ground scoring. Bring that high value scoring from your pairing. I don't think it's in a bad spot. It's definitely not the numbers I'm used to seeing on high payouts for hold, but I'm also not used to seeing this much positional tech crammed into a hold warband before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. That's a good point. If you find the pairing that brings you a little heftier end phase kick, you might be really flying. This is cool. I'm really excited for this. This is we've been talking about this a little bit, how we'd be interested to see if we can get some horde and hold on either one or the other or both that to really compete with some of these elite warbands here. This feels like it might have the legs to do it. I think somebody's going to really run with this.
I think so too. Man, it's going to feel so slippery fighting this warband.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be frustrating or like satisfying.
I mean, I think it's going to be satisfyingly frustrating. Like, yeah. Like, you know, I sometimes have that experience against somebody who's really piloting something well, or I'm like, man, you are stopping everything I can do. And, you know, if I can keep a good headspace about it, then I can just admire the workmanship that's going into this. Like that's, I think there's probably a pretty high skill ceiling on this warband is my impression.
I think so too.
Yeah.
You're going to be so rewarded for knowing what positional attack the opposing warband has. Like a lot of the time it's going to be like glory that you're going to be helping them score or denying them from scoring. Like I think you're gonna have a lot of say in their positional tech, especially in like a best of three.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Hey, we would love to hear what you think about this warband or any of the other stuff we're covering on this week of Warhammer Underworld celebration that we're doing. You can let us know the best places on our Discord. We've got tons of folks there and there's always conversation hopping. There's also the other Mortal Realms shows are on that if you want to branch out a little bit. You can also get in touch with us at WTHcast or whatthehexcast@gmail.com. Thanks to the Mortal Realms for hosting our show. You can check them all out at themortalrealms.com, everything we put out, including our blog content, which has the card-by-card review of all this stuff, including, so, you know, there's the team of the four of us right now kind of splitting all the workload up, so you may even get a different perspective. We'll see. I don't I haven't read what anyone's written yet. Like maybe Phil came in and hated this, so we'll find out.
You know, Phil. Fight him.
Yeah. Old grumpster Phil. Coming up the week of Warhammer Underworlds will continue. There are some things that we can't ever skip, though, and that is the Flavotext quiz. Skylar, are you ready?
Consider me delighted.
All right, I'm going to give you a hint here. It is from the Thorns deck. All right, the quote is unattributed. The glare of the living dead can stop a fighter cold in their tracks.
Please tell me this is awful, Lear.
It is.
Okay. Because I will never forget reading that card for the first time and just watching him stare me down.
It's funny because it was 100% going to be Backshanker for a while. And then I was 50-50 on these. And then you read Backshanker off to me. And I think, well, I just can't do that. So
excellent.
Your recommended listening for this episode is Every Rose Has Its Thorn, and that's by Poison. For What the Hex, I've been Davey.
And I've been Skylar.
We did it.
Love it.
I may edit this backwards, but excuse me.
Don't die.